authors, writers, dreamers, all. Each day is an invitation to accept the call. I'm Brooke Warner from She Writes.
And I'm Grant Faulkner from NaNoWriMo. You're listening to Right Minded, weekly inspiration for writers. Hello, writers, self-improvers, goal setters, and resolutionists, and welcome to Right Minded's kickoff 2019 show on the theme of, you guessed it, New Year's resolutions. I am here today with my co-host, Brooke Warner, and Brooke, I'm very curious, what is your take on New Year's resolutions? Are you a resolutions person? Have you made them for this year yet?
You know, I am a resolution person, I think, because I'm an optimist and I always feel like it's a fun thing to do. It's a cool thing to do, but I am not a very good resolution follow through person. I think
You're not alone.
Yeah, I think I'm that kind of person. I have to confess. I don't know. What's your track record on resolutions?
Well, I was thinking about them and I strangely thought of this quote from Mark Twain, who said, "Marriage is a triumph of hope over experience." Which, you know, he was being funny about marriage, but I think I'm with you. I like living in that state of hope. At 1 year, I found a list of my resolutions from like 10 years ago, and they were the same as the resolutions I was setting that year. So I guess you could view that as a failure, except I kind of wondered, who would I be if I hadn't been making these attempts every year? And so I think there's something valuable just about that intention to improve yourself. And, you know, NaNoWriMo is an organization of resolutions, essentially. You know, we say a goal and a deadline is a creative midwife. So I think resolutions and goals help us reach our potential. But I do think an alarming number of people do not succeed or keep their resolutions. In fact, I read this article that there are some apps on a phone. I forget what the name of the apps were, but basically most resolutions die by February 4th.
February 4th, man, that's pretty early in the year.
Yeah, and I love this because what they did is they tracked people's checking in at gyms and checking in at fast food restaurants. And of course, it was like those two trend lines were wide apart to start the month. A lot of people were going to the gym and a lot of people were not checking in at fast food restaurants. But by February 4th, that is when those lines converged.
Sounds like kind of an unscientific study, but...
kind of science-y, though. There's a grain of truth there, maybe more than a grain of truth. And that's why I think, actually, is that we know that we're going to lapse, right? The thing is to figure out how to come back from a lapse.
Well, and I love what you said about NaNoWriMo being this goal-setting organization, because this thing that you mentioned about they're the same resolutions that you had 10 years ago resonates with me. And I actually think that's a good thing, because if your focus is singular and you are on track, especially if your goals have to do with work or writing or family, it makes sense to me that you would have some kind of consistency in your goals. Because my goals, as they pertain to writing, have been pretty consistent. I want my work to be out in the world. I want to finish books. 2 years ago, I set the goal to do a TEDx talk, and that happened. So I have had good success in setting goals for myself and then saying this thing is going to happen. But sometimes that thing that happens is several years out in the making.
I like this, Brooke. What you're saying is that being a consistent failure is good on my part because I have focus.
Right.
I think you're kind of right. No, I too, I've seen, you know, I think sometimes we focus on the resolutions we don't keep or our failures, and we forget to kind of celebrate our successes. And so like you, if I really, really track back in time, I can think of numerous, especially writing goals, which that focus did help me achieve them. They might not come through 1 year, but they might come through like 2 or 3 years later.
And one of my favorite things that I've done recently is the 52 things, which some people might be aware of. But the 52 things list is 52 things that you want to accomplish. Of course, it's connected to the 52 weeks of the year, and 52 things that are attainable, 52 things that you want to do that are maybe aspirational. And I've done the 52 things list about 5 years in a row. And anytime that it doesn't get done, it just rolls over onto the next year's 52 things list. So I thought it might be kind of fun, because I actually did do a 52 things for writers. And I can't believe it was 2014 that I wrote this blog post. But for the most part, it still still rings true. All of the things that I mentioned were around committing to becoming a regular writer, contributing to a website that you follow or admire, supporting your local bookstore by shopping on Independent Bookstore Day. I think we could put some of these in the content actually on our website just because they could spark other people's 52 things list. But I kind of love the idea of doing 52 things and maybe having 10 or 20 of those things be writing related.
That, yeah, when I read your blog post, I was amazed. I mean, they were just all great ideas. And it wasn't only about being, you know, kind of your own, in your own kind of writing solitude. It was about being a writer beyond your desk or your office and being a writer in the world. And so I'm curious, was 2014 like the first year that you did the 52 things? And how many of them did you achieve that year?
Yeah, it was the second year. So the first year that I did the 52 things, it was much more around my personal life. And they were travel related and stuff that I wanted to do with my son and trips and things like that mostly. But then the following year, I thought, well, this is totally pertinent to writers. And I remember racking my brain a fair amount to come up with 52. You've done the pep talk thing and you did 52 of them. So you know how hard it is to come up with 52 things. And so, but I did a lot of these. I mean, many of them were incredibly attainable, right? Like going to a reading, joining a group, doing NaNoWriMo was one of them. I loved the idea of memorizing a poem, and I did do that year. And so just things that keep you in the writerly frame of mind. And I would say in 2015 that followed when I wrote this, I probably did about half of these.
That's so great. And so many of them, I mean, like the memorize a poem, I had that on my list 5 or 6 years ago, and I think I only did it 1 year. So I'm going to put that back on my list this year. And I want to recommend something that a NaNoWriMo staff person came up with, Dave Beck, our director of technology. He likes this idea of what he calls month illusions. So they're similar to your 52 things, but the thing is to only focus on 1 month at a time. And I think that this would help a lot of people like not fail on their New Year's resolutions, because I think sometimes when you make a resolution for the whole year, it's just such a vast period of time that you can kind of easily lose track of it. And once you lapse, it's hard to get back up on the horse again. But a month illusion, like, it gives you a new starting point every month. And so you make new resolutions like on a monthly basis. And I think it breaks down those bigger goals into smaller goals and makes them more achievable.
I love that. In 1 year, I did something kind of similar, but it was to submit and publish something every quarter of that year.
Uh-huh.
And it was so manageable. And I was really trying to build my platform, and I wanted to have my writing be more visible. And 3 month chunks go by really fast, especially when you're trying to get your work out into the world. But I was so focused on it that I did attain that year. It's not that difficult to set the goal for getting 4 pieces published. And they were, you know, one was in a magazine, and I think 3 of them were on online places where I was a guest blogger. So I do really like the attainable goals. That's my favorite.
It's really interesting how many different types of goals you can come up with writing too. I'm just thinking of a NaNoWriMo participant who I know, and I think his goal was to submit to 100 journals, or as he put it, he wanted to get 100 rejections. And he didn't truly want rejections, of course, but what I think his goal was is just to be able to weather all those rejections, just to put himself out there to kind of, you know, thicken his skin in a way. I always thought that was a great one.
It's kind of fun to reframe it in that way too, to make it a bit of a game, laughing at yourself a bit to get the 100 rejections or whatever it might look like. And the definition of resolution, when I looked it up, I saw it says a firm decision to do or not do something. And of course, that makes sense when you're not eating candy or not doing whatever, depriving yourself of the thing that you want that's bad for you. But I did like it because I think you can kind of turn it on its head. You know, the goal of getting the rejections or those kinds of reframes that might add a little bit more fun.
So do you have any specific writing resolutions this year, or is it more about the 52 things?
Well, I'm going to do the 52 things for sure, and it's going to be a combination of writing and personal goals that I want to do. But because I'm finishing this book and the goal is to really be complete with it by the end of the year, my big resolution is to put the book out into the world. And then in conjunction with that, because I've done TEDx, and this book is about women, I do have a longer term goal to do a TED Women talk. So that's my big hairy goal, like putting that out there in a big way is scary, but it's hoping.
It's out there now.
Right. It's out there now. And, it, you know, that would be for the following year, like 2020.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And what's yours?
You know, I feel like I'm in this state of transition. I have a short story collection that's finished and a novel that's finished. And so my goals are to try to get those published. But then I'm kind of searching for my next project for the year. And so my goal is to choose a new novel that I really want to focus on and go deep on. And one way of choosing that novel is I want to explore new writing forms. So I'm going to try to write more personal essays this year. It's a form that I haven't done much in. So I just kind of want to explore it. And part of that, I've always been inspired by David Sedaris and his use of his journal. He writes in his journal every day, and he has these amazing journals, and they are the source for his write for all of his writing. And I used to be an avid journal writer, and I've really let it drop, and so I'd like to bring it back and just, you know, find myself in it again.
That is inspiring. Yeah, I do love that. And we're going to turn to a writing action or two writing actions for our audience today. But before we do that, I want to ask you, why do you think most writing resolutions fail? Most resolutions fail, but we could say writing resolutions.
Yeah, I think they fail just like any resolution. Like when people want to exercise more or lose weight or quit smoking, whatever it is, I think it's just tough to change the patterns of your life. And so I think, like, I'd really like to urge people, this is a plug for NaNoWriMo, but we have these goal trackers on our site. And so it's like you can set up your own personal NaNoWriMos, whether it's a writing goal for a 1 week period or a month period or a 6 month period, they're there to help you track your word count. And so I think, like, that sort of tracking your behavior makes you more attuned to it and more attuned to, like, when you don't show up for your resolutions. So that's what I'm also going to use those goal trackers a lot. And within that kind of month-olution plan, I'm going to make monthly writing goals and then track myself and, you know, really hold myself accountable.
Well, I was just going to say accountability, because it is all about that. You can set as many resolutions as you want, but the failure rate has to be directly correlated to lack of accountability, right? So if you have a coach or a writing group or NaNoWriMo or just something that you're setting up for yourself to say, this thing that I'm accountable to that I said I'm going to do, I think it's a game changer. And that's why NaNoWriMo is so successful. And we were talking about this idea that, you know, people out in the world knowing that other people are writing makes you write. And that can be and should be all year round.
And then you also need people around to blame for your failures.
yes.
And so I'm not blaming my writing community that. I'm gonna focus all of that on my children and my dog. No, I'm joking, of course. But yeah.
Absolutely. We're not going to take any personal responsibility for anything that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Can I mention one other thing, Brooke? Because I know we've talked about this a little bit. Sometimes I think we get so kind of into our writing resolutions can be about submissions and word count goals and revision goals. But I think resolutions, it's nice to open them up. I think this is one thing I like about your 52 things is that you create new experiences. And so I do that every year. I try to create small and very doable experiences, meaning that I don't have to spend a lot of money or spend a lot of time to do them. They can be part of my community. And I think it's good to do that, to have the new experiences, because that nourishes the mulch of your creativity.
I love it. Well, let's end on that. Nourish the mulch of your creativity. Try new things. Perfect. And we're going to come back right after a break with each of us sharing an action. All right, everybody, we're back and we have not really actions, but just ideas. We're obviously trying to get everybody inspired, and it is a time of year that people already feel inspired. I'm going to be incredibly uninspired, just in the sense that I'm going to offer to you guys as a writing action to do the 52 things that I was just talking about. We will post my post here on the site so that you can lift my ideas. We're very into stealing ideas. That is a good thing to do when it benefits you and when it gets your wheels turning. But consider the idea of mixing it up with writing and personal stuff, as I was mentioning I did, and just doing things. I love what Grant, what you said earlier about just nourishing your creative soul. I think that when I think about New Year's resolutions and things that are going to motivate and inspire throughout the year, it's all about that nourishment and, you know, just keeping you excited and inspired and wanting to come back for more. So Grant, how about you? What's your action?
Yeah, I am very fascinated in this, like, why and people lapse with their resolutions and how to come back from them. And so when I mentioned earlier that most resolutions go to die by February 4th, and then people wait like all the rest of the year to make new resolutions, as if you have to wait another 10 or 11 months. But no, you can make a new resolution like on February 5th. And there's this concept that when you start a resolution on a new milestone day, and a milestone day means like the beginning of the year, the beginning of the month, the beginning of the week, something like that, then you can like come back. And so that's why I love this idea of the month-olutions. And so I urge people to do month-olutions this year. Try it out. Set a different writing goal for each month of the year and track your progress and see how it works out. So that's just 12 goals. You can probably even kind of think about them. How will those 12 goals lead to a one-year goal? Like, let's say you want to write 150,000 words this year. You know, track that on a monthly basis. Include the 50,000 that you'll write in November. And then it's only 100,000 for those other 11 months. Let's succeed this year. Let's last the whole way. Oh, and I wanted to mention one other thing about lapsing. I recently read a piece, and I cannot remember who started this or the exact name, but I think it's something about the last 100 days. And it's a similar concept. It's like, instead of waiting for the new year to start a new resolution, pick it up in the last 100 days of the year and pick up the ones that have lapsed. So I think that's a great concept too.
Perfect. And it kind of lends directly into if they do lapse, or if you have the 52 things and you don't complete all of them, they just roll over.
Exactly. Keep them going.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks, everybody. We're heading right into this beautiful new year, 2019, and we hope that you'll join us for lots more of Right Minded. Remember that you can download this wherever you get your Apple podcasts, and we will see you every Monday of 2019. Looking forward to it.